Hello, ladies. Now, my voice does not normally sound like this, but this week, I don't know. I woke up one day and it sounded like this. So if you've ever heard me speak before, you're like, what is wrong with her? So I'm sorry. And if I end up coughing or something, it just needs to clear up. I'm okay. I feel fine. I just don't sound like I feel fine, but I do. So I'm so happy to be here. You know, normally my voice is like, yeah, I can't do it, y'all. I can't. I am happy to be here, though. And if you didn't know, my name is Christian. I am one of the pastors, children's pastor here on staff. And Pastor Josh and Anna are in Oklahoma right now. They're ministering at a youth conference, and then there's an adult conference at the same time. So they're all there this week. So I think Pastor Josh ministered today. Pastor Anna might be ministering tomorrow. I can't remember. Pastor Philip is also there, the youth pastor. So it's a big deal. It's super exciting. So we've been praying for them while they've been out. But we didn't want to cancel tonight because she's not here because, hey, we're all still here, right? So we talked, and we're going to jump in on where she left off, okay? Excuse me. I'm so sorry. So before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we have the ladies' retreat that's coming up in November. If you've had the opportunity to look at the details, it's on the app. It's November 17th? Yeah. Okay, I think that's right. 17th and 18th, it's a one night. It's at a really nice place, and registration is open. But I also want to submit to you guys, if you have it on your heart and you're able to go and you have extra that you would like to put into the scholarship fund for those that would like to go but that might not be able to pay for the whole thing, I encourage you guys to do that because we want as many ladies that can go to go. And I know that everybody's seasons of life are different, and some might have a little extra, some might have just a little bit. But if you are able to put money towards that, I encourage you to do so because it's going to be a great time together. And we're going to receive some things from the Lord, but also just be able to relax, refresh, and I'm really excited about it. And when the next time you talk to me, I will not sound like this, and I will sound really excited about it. But that's how I'm going to sound if I try to get excited, y'all. Y'all don't want that. So we're going to keep it nice and low and mellow, okay? This is my sultry voice. But yeah, so I'm super excited about the women's retreat. So if you're able to go, definitely sign up. I think there is a cutoff on when we'll be able to accept registrations because we have to submit our numbers and have the rooms ready and all that stuff. So yes, really exciting. So Pastor Anna, who's been here some of the other weeks? Yeah? Okay. It's been really good, y'all. If you haven't been here, the recordings for the past 2 weeks will be posted. I have sad news, though. For the first week, it will not be posted because we didn't get a chance to record it. Something happened. There was a glitch. But I'm going to do a quick review. So this review will be recorded. So, and then there's the notes, so you'll be able to pull some stuff from that. But she really just landed in Psalm 34. And then the first, let's pray real quick before I read this scripture. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for this time together, the privilege to just dive into your word, to go deeper, and to just praise you through whatever is going on through our days and through our weeks. Father, we just thank you that we put all that aside, lay it at your feet, and we thank you for the opportunity to just love on you, to be in your presence today, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the great food that we had today, and bless the hands that prepared it and put forth a lot of work. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So week one, she was started off in Psalm 34. And I actually love Psalm 34. And it's one of the ones that I pull out scriptures like in difficult times that sending it off to people. And so she's been teaching out of that. So Psalm 34, 1-4 was the first that she started with. And the key thing that I got out of that was we have a choice and how we respond. And she mentioned about reasons why we praise, that all praise belongs to the Lord. For his grace, we praise him for his grace, his mercy, his wisdom, his understanding. The Bible commands it and even gives us instructions on how to access God in praise. And praise is a weapon against the enemy. So I think sometimes we underestimate the power of praise. And so this time together and being able to dive in about why we praise and what it's meant for has been really good. And praise being a weapon against the enemy. The enemy is coming. He's trying to attack because we are children of God and we are daughters of the Most High. And he does not like that. He does not want the gospel spread. So the enemy's coming and we have a weapon, and that is praise. And so she's been breaking down Hebrew words of praise. I will butcher all of them probably, but yada, to worship with extended hands. If you're ever like, why do we do certain things in church? Because sometimes you feel like, oh, they do this. This is just, you know, I don't know why. They always go in there and do this. They always raise their hands. They always kneel down. Why do we close our eyes to pray? Why would, you know, you think of like all these things of why you do it. Those are good questions to ask. I got a 3-year-old right now, and man, he's asking why about everything. Even why he's not doing something. I'm like, I don't know. Why? Why aren't you doing that? You tell me. But asking why is good. So diving in into why we do certain things so that you have a foundation and, like, you know why you're doing it and it has meaning, this is good stuff. So raising your hands. The Bible tells us, yada, worship with extended hands. Halal, to shine, boast, and praise with words. So to give God the glory and honor with your words and the things that you say. I don't know if you guys have heard the scripture, but there's a scripture that tells us that our tongue is powerful. The things that come out of your mouth make a difference. And so if you're using your words to glorify God, that means you're not using your words to cut somebody down. You're using your words for a purpose. You're using the words to change the atmosphere. So another thing out of week one, she said, declare war against the lies of the enemy. Show up and march in victory. That's what you're doing when you're praising. Like, it's more than just listening to a song and, you know, enjoying music and like, oh, this sounds good. No, you're fighting a battle and you're doing that while you're praising. So week two, verses 1-8, she went through, praise is not dependent on who I am or who you are, but only upon God's word and who he is. That was like the highlight of, she said it at the very beginning, and it was so good, is to remember that praise is not about us at all. Like, has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with you. It's all about who God is. And so it's speaking those words, God's word, about who he is, and that's why we praise. And it goes back to words. It's always going back to the words and the power of your words. So reasons why we praise: God is good to me. The Lord delivered me. Praise defeats despair. Praise is a weapon. And so this week two is when she talked about Paul and Silas and how that earthquake happened. And that was a really good word as far as breaking down that story, because when you have a situation in your life, it doesn't, you want to see the resolve. You want to see God get you through to the other side. But sometimes, if you're like me, you're a planner, and like you're like, it's got to look like this, and this is how it has to happen. No, we just praise God through it. He does it how he's going to do it. Yeah, he could have gotten Paul and Silas out of the jail a different way, but he brought an earthquake. You know, so like, God's going to do it. We praise him while we're going through it, but God is going to take care of it. The Hebrew words she went through were tehillah, singing, which means singing straight to God. Shabak, which means praise with a shout. You get so excited that you just have to shout and tell God, thank you, Lord. You are so good. You raise up your voice. You get excited because you are speaking louder than the things that might be going on in your head or the things that you might see. It's putting your focus back on him. And so ringing a cry, a joyful shout, not whatever, but it's a good word. I just don't know how to pronounce it. And Barak, to kneel, to bow down. So those are all things that we see all the time. And if you didn't know why we do it, it's because God's word tells us that this is a way that we can praise. This is a way that we can get to the throne room, how we can fight a spiritual battle. Praise gets your eyes off of the problem and onto Jesus. You don't know how God is going to do it, but you praise no matter what. And then week three, I wasn't here for week three, but it was really good. At the start of it, people share testimonies, and those testimonies are to encourage others. God is the same for all of us. If he did it for you, he can do it for me. It might not look like how he did it for you, but if he brought you through, I know he can bring me through. And so it's encouraging to hear those things. That's why we have to celebrate what God is doing. That's why we have to talk about what God is doing. It's so easy to try to get people hooked up with us when we're like feeling down, or like when we're having, you know, a hard time, like, oh, today was a rough day. Yeah, girl, me too. You know, last night my baby didn't sleep either. Like, you go down this whole train of thoughts of all the things when we could just be encouraging, like it's only a season. God's going to get us to the other side of that. Like, it changes the atmosphere when you change your words. And so sharing your testimony encourages others, and constantly speak the words of the Lord and have intentionality in it to praise the Lord. Like, you have a choice to praise. We have a choice. One of the things that I learned when I was growing up, I have a choice and I make the decisions for myself. I can't control what you do. I can't control what you do. I can't control what you say to me. I can't control anything, but I can only control my words, my actions, and what I do. So I have a choice to praise. I have a choice to respond how God wants me to respond. That doesn't mean I do it perfect every time, but I realize, hey, okay, this looks bad. I don't like how this feels, but God will bring me through. He's given me the greater one on the inside of me. Greater is he that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world. My children will rise up and call me blessed. Like, those are the things. You have to know what God's word says, and then you bring that stuff back out when you need it. We speak God's word. We have a confession of faith no matter what, and we take authority. So, like, when things are happening in your house and in your home and in your family, you have authority over that. God has given you authority over your families, over your marriages, over your children. Like, you have authority, and you take that authority. Just like you have a choice over what you do and what you say and how you respond, you take authority over the things that are happening in your family. Like, I don't let my kids decide all the things. He's three. Like, no, you don't get to decide that you're going to eat M&Ms all the time. Like, no, that's not good. I make the choice of what's good and healthy. So I'm going to choose and take authority and say, no, you're going to have to eat this. So I take authority. No, devil, you don't have control in this situation. There's going to be peace in my home because God said that I can have peace. I'm going to speak the truth. You take authority over the things that are going on in your life. Take authority over your family. And he's given you that authority. The day that you said, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you immediately got keys and got keys to a kingdom and became a ruler that can reign and have authority over the areas of your life. So, like, you have to recognize that. Like, it's not, oh, I'm just a sinner that messed up and God saved me. No, it's more than that. Yeah, he saved you. Yes, that happened. That's not the big deal. The big deal is that now you rule and reign, and the devil has to be put under your feet, and you have authority in your life, and he doesn't rule your life anymore. Like, it's more than just being saved. Like, you have control. When people say, when you think, oh, I just can't give this up and I can't do it, yes, you can. You can't do it on your own. No, because you tried that. You do it with the power of the Holy Spirit because you received Jesus as your Lord, and he's given you that gift, and he's empowered you to do it. He's given you grace to do it. And so recognizing that you have that authority and seeing that and taking a hold of that. And then she talked about Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And what I put down with that was that she said, look to Jesus, look at his word, and say it with your mouth. One of the things that I have, that the Lord has dealt with me on for many, many years, and has been one of the things I'm always saying if you talk to me about anything, is let's find out what God's word says. There is a scripture for everything. No, it might not say don't do drugs, but it will say don't let something take control of you. It will put it in a way that you can take a hold of that. It will say don't let something be the Lord of your life, but God is the Lord, that he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. So then you take a hold of that and you say, okay, I can do this because God's word said it. Can't do it on my own. Lord, I need your help. And I praise you that I can do it. And I thank you. If you ever listen while I'm praying, I don't ask God a ton of things. I know what he said. I know he says that he wants me healed. So then when I'm praying, I thank him for my healing. I thank you that my voice is coming back. I thank you that I'm strong in the Lord. I thank you that I have wisdom for what is coming, that I know what to do. Because he already said, I give you wisdom. I give you peace. I thank you that I have peace in my home. You thank him for those things. That's praise. And that's when it says in Psalm 34:1, and it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. It's because you know what God's word says, and you're constantly thanking him for what he's doing in your life. You don't give way to the enemy and like highlight the stuff that's going wrong. You thank God that you have the answer, that you can do this, that he's guiding you, that he's giving you wisdom, that he's giving you peace, that he's opening doors, that he's sending people the way that in the way that you need them, that he's guiding you to the right people, that you have the right doctors, that you have the right teachers for your kids, that he's preparing the way, because he says, I don't leave you, I don't forsake you, but I am with you always. He says that he prepares the way. He knows the end from the very beginning. So then when we rely on him and we trust in him, we thank him that he is telling us and guiding us in the way that we should go, that we have that connection. Because we got that when we said, Jesus, you are my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me, cleansing me, and I accept you as Lord of my life. In that moment, he says, okay, I'm going to help you out. Let's do this. I'm going to take care of you. Listen to me. He says, he who has ears, let them hear. He says, listen, I will guide you. I sent you a helper. I will lead you. So knowing his word, constantly taking authority in the areas of your life, have a confession of faith no matter what. Praise makes the enemy know that we have Jesus Lord over our life. And so the Hebrew words that she talked about in week 3 were zamar, to praise with instruments. So while we sing and we have instruments, those are things that help lead us into the presence of God. It doesn't stop with the song. That's the start of it. That's to get us, okay, I'm thinking on these things. I'm thinking the right things. Yes, Lord, you are good. You're good to me. Yes, you're good to me at home. You're good to me at work. And it goes further than just what that song is. And karar, praise with dance, tauda, a sacrifice of praise, praise in advance. Praising God for the things that you don't see, the things that you're expecting from him, the things that you know by faith that he's going to do. You don't know how he's going to do it, but you trust and believe that he will do it. So that is essentially what she talked about in the first 3 weeks. So it really ministered to me, and it encouraged me, and it was definitely a good, like, pump up to get ready for the school year, to get ready for this next season of life. And I know we're all in different phases. So one thing that she wanted me to share with you was personal experiences of mine of praise. And so when I think about praise, that's hard to narrow down just one experience of praising God, because I feel like since I became a Christian, it's been a constant experience of praising God through different seasons. So I'm going to try to hit different points that I think lots of you can relate to. So as a young person, before I graduated college, out of high school, I made the decision to leave a full ride scholarship to go to Bible school, which full ride scholarship at a really good school that would have gotten me very far in connections and corporate jobs. It would have been great. But I felt like I wasn't supposed to do that. And so I asked God about it, prayed about it, continued school. I didn't just drop out right then, but I talked to God. I said, okay, I know that I'm led by you. You'll give me clarity. You'll help me know what to do. And he did. He gave me wisdom. I put in the application. I ended up moving, leaving the scholarship, moving to Oklahoma, going to Bible school, then finishing out getting my bachelor's degree, which he redeemed the time because I was like, man, I still want to go and get my degree. And I was like, man, I'm going to be in school 4 more years now after I've done 2 years. No, he redeemed the time. I only graduated a year later than I would have normally. And then I went and got my master's. Like, he took care of everything. Another season of my life, I had to ask God for provision for a job. I decided I was in the spot where I needed to know if I needed to stay in Oklahoma or if I needed to move back to Michigan or if I needed to move to North Carolina because my mom lived here. And I felt like it wasn't time for me to move from Oklahoma, but I wasn't in school anymore. Majority of my friends, you know, finished and they moved. So like my circle and connections, I still had church and stuff, but I felt like it wasn't time for me to leave. And that's where it comes of following the Holy Spirit and knowing, having that relationship with God of like, okay, you'll help me. You know what I should do and you'll guide me. So it's not just begging him of like, oh Lord, please tell me what should I do? Where should I go? I don't have no job here. Like, that does not solve the situation except for like brings tears and like it's just a hot mess. Like, no, you might have a moment. I can't say that I probably didn't cry and was like, oh no, this really stinks. Because I was cleaning out an email. I might be a weirdo, but I had these emails that were like way, way back. So I was like, oh, this is from like this lady that went to the school. Well, I forgot that after I finished school, my lease was up at my apartment, and so I stayed and did house sitting for this lady and watched her cat because they went back to their other house, and they were going to go back for the summer. And so I saw these emails to back and forth because that was right in the moment when I was deciding if I was going to move or if I was going to stay. And then I saw this email that basically said, so I'm not leaving the area and I'm looking for another place and like explaining this stuff. I completely forgot that I was like basically homeless at that time too because I did not have a home. Like I was in this in-between spot. And so God provided. I said, okay, Lord, if this is what I'm supposed to do, I need a job because I told everybody I was leaving and I'm not. And I need housing. And within like 7 days time frame, I saw a job position at the school. I applied for it, got called back the next day, interviewed, got the job. And then somebody that I served with at the church, her sister was moving out and she needed a roommate. And she was like, yeah, my sister's moving back home, blah, 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 blah. Got to find a roommate. And I was like, well, I think I need some place to live because I'm staying. So God lined it up. He provided. And I didn't doubt that he was going to. I did not have any clue how. I didn't know where I was going to work, and I did not know where I was going to live. But he provided a way. And so you praise through those situations instead of begging him to, like, figure it out and help you because he said he was going to. So it's like, okay, you're going to help me out. I'm not going to stress about it. I'm going to do my part. I did applications. I didn't just like sit on my hands. I did my part. I did applications and like I talked to people and he opened the doors and that's what he does. And so as a single person, I was believing God to be married. I wanted to be married. Moved here to North Carolina. And let's just say I moved here to Trailhead Church, and it was a new, like, the church was probably only, like, 5 years old. And there were not a lot of young people, and everybody that was here was married with kids. And, like, I was like, there's no options here. I've just left friends and people. Like, I had options before. Not anymore. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you tell me come. I'm here. You know what? My husband ended up moving here because he transferred for a job and started coming to Trailhead. And we met, dated, married. You know, God provided it. Like, I had no clue. Like, you talk to anybody that knew me at that time, I was like, I don't really want to do online dating, but I will if I have to. I was really nervous about doing it. And I know that, and I knew quite a few people that had successful online dating marriages. But I just thought I was too nervous to do it. That was not going to be my story. I couldn't do it because I was too skeptical of every single person. I felt like I was shopping for a husband and I didn't enjoy it. So God provided a way and he does that every single time. And as a wife and as a mom, praising God can be times that he can correct you and that he can help you change things about your attitude. I know that there's been moments that have been hard and you praise God through it. And then he's like, okay, yes, I'm good. And yes, I will fix this. But what's back there? Oh my gosh, Jesus. Okay. As long as it don't come near me, I'm okay. It's really big. Okay. So, in that moment, praising God, he can correct your attitude. Yeah. Dex is amazing. Oh, my gosh. Dex is my hero. She is. She's amazing. Let's give her a round of applause. No, everybody knows what the things that I don't like. I don't keep it quiet. So, yes, praising God in all situations. You can praise God and he will help you see things in a better way and see, like, where you need to adjust things. And allow the Lord to refine you during times of praise and prayer. And be reminded of amazing qualities of your husband, of your spouse, or whoever. Like, he can remind you, like, there's a reason why you're together. And there's a reason that I put this union together. There's qualities about my husband that I didn't even have on my list to pray for. And then I'm like, man, I can't even believe I didn't ask for that. Praise the Lord, you took care of me. Like, he's the nicest person ever. And I needed somebody nice. Like, I don't need somebody that's going to fight back with me because he's really nice. And so it kind of puts water on the fire. And it's like, oh, yeah, you don't need to be so hyped up. He's like, why are you getting that way? I'm not. You are. He's like, really? Yeah, that's how it really ends up. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I love you. Like, our fights don't last very long because he is very nice. And so those times of praise and situations, God can remind you of what he has done in your life. You start praising God, and he's like, remember this, remember that. And you're like, oh, yeah, God, you're so good. You took care of me there. You know, this, you know, in your whole atmosphere, the attitude has changed. And so, last one, as a mom, praising God in times of frustration or times of being overwhelmed. Sometimes you gotta blast the music. I do it if they're all crying and I'm like, we're playing worship music. No, I want to watch plays. No, mama's watching worship songs. I don't want to watch worship songs. We are. And then all of a sudden, everybody is happy. They're singing, they're dancing, and it's changed the atmosphere. You have to praise God to change the atmosphere in your home. I know having a little baby, there's times when you're like, oh, my gosh, they won't stop crying. They won't stop crying. And so, yeah, you can just start crying yourself. But then there's been times where I'm like, okay, I'm going to cry, and I'm going to turn the song on. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're not crying anymore. You're not crying anymore. There's peace, you know. He brings peace. These are things that he promises us in our word. In his word. And so praise changes the atmosphere. If there's anything that I can share with you and that I believe God wants you to know, is that praise can change whatever is happening in your life. Praise can change the things happening in your personal life. If you feel like, man, I really just wish I could wake up and read my Bible. I wish I could pray more than 30 seconds. Like, I get tired or I get distracted. Praise God through that. He will help you. He will bring the desire on the inside of you that you're like, I really want to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't care how many times my child interrupts me while I'm reading this. I'm going to finish this chapter about Paul because the story was interesting and I want to see what the God's word says. That might be literally what happened because I was like, man, this is good. I haven't read it like this. And then it's like, Mama, just go find your dad. But praise can change the atmosphere. It can change the things happening in your life, no matter what stage you're in. I don't have an example of praise after kids because I'm not an empty nester yet. But I praise God for all the traveling that I will do when I don't have two little kids and I don't have a child that doesn't want me to hold them on the train. And the people around you are very kind. Because she was not very happy at all on the train, Alicia. And we were back there in the business area. And they're like, who brought the kids out of coach? So you praise God for all the seasons. You praise God through all the circumstances. You praise God no matter what. And you believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in his word. 100%. You don't believe the lies. If it goes contrary to God's word, it's a lie. So choose to have a lifestyle of praise. His praise is continually on your lips, constantly thanking him for who he is and what he is doing, but what he will also do. Praise break is not just listening to your favorite song, but taking that moment to transform the atmosphere of your life and actively removing the garments you have on. Stress, anxiety, worry, fear, the plan of how it's going to happen, the situation, the annoyance, all of those things, and laying it before the Lord and exchanging it for a garment of praise and clothing yourself with his garments. That was a good one when she brought that out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and I think 17. And it says, the one that says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And right before I came out to eat, I was like, I remember the verse that says, if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. And I was like, I don't want a rock crying out because I'm quiet and I'm being silent. And so Luke chapter 19, and I didn't realize that that verse was after the triumphal entry, which Pastor Anna talked about. And so verse 40 is where it is. But the triumphal entry is when Jesus was entering into the on the donkey, and it says, verse 36, as he rode along, the crowd spread out around and spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. They were praising him for what he had done. They were praising him for what they were expecting him to do, being the King, the Deliverer, the one. If you guys did not hear Pastor Adam's message last week, Mom, can you give me a tissue, please? If you did not hear Pastor Adam last week when he talked about the 400 years in between the Old Testament and the New Testament and why they were waiting for Jesus and like why they were like, is he the Savior? Is he the one? You need to listen to last week's message. It was so good. But they were so excited for he was going to be their King and Deliverer. And this is why. So they were laying their garments down. So lay your garments down. Lay down all the things that we're worrying about and stressing about and put on what he says in his word. Put on his garments. I put in here, we have prayer. You hear about prayer closets? We need a praise closet. Change our clothes. Go get in your closet. Praise it out. Change your clothes. Come back out with a new attitude, ready to change the atmosphere of your home, of your family, of your kids. And if that means setting boundaries and doing things that a little bit different that might be weird or people might not like, you do it because God is going to be in the midst of it because he's going to show you exactly what you need to do and what you need to know because he's giving you wisdom. He's giving you peace. He's giving you guidance. And you don't have to ask for it. You just thank him for it. You praise him for it. And you say, I've got this. You are helping me. And you're showing me. And you step in there, believe in it, and you will have it. Okay? That's what I got. You know? So what we're going to do, one last thing, is you choose your music wisely. Don't just be listening to the sappy, sad, oh, I was a sinner, but Jesus saved me. Don't be listening to that. Like, listen to something that is speaking God's word, that is going to edify your spirit, that's going to build you up and get you ready, and focus on him. So choose your songs wisely. Choose your words wisely. And there was a song, we're going to play our worship playlist, and we're going to pray for the next, like, 10 minutes and just praise God. But do the acts of praise that Pastor Anna was talking about. Like, lay down before the Lord. Kneel. Lift your hands. Shout if you have to. If you need to shout to get the victory for that Jericho wall to fall down, shout as many times, as loud as you need to. If you need to march around this sanctuary or go marching around your house, you do it. Y'all marching around holding a kid or dragging them along with me, crying. You do it. You change the atmosphere of your home. You change the atmosphere of your life. You change the atmosphere of your marriage. You change the atmosphere of your workplace. Praise that person out of your workplace into another job. I thank you, Lord, that you got a better job for them, promotion out of here in Jesus' name. You praise them. I love you. You killed that spider. You praise the Lord through it all, and he will do it. You don't pray that they get fired. Like, that's not what God called you to do. Now you're in sin, and now you have to ask for forgiveness because you're praying bad things towards someone. Praise the Lord that they're going to get something good and that God is going to turn their life around, that they're going to find out the goodness of God. So I had this song that I don't even know. I might have heard it one time, but it was really good. And I woke up this morning and I was like, what is that song? So then I had to Google the lyrics to find out what song it was. And it's called My Worship. And it says, "You, Lord, you are worthy, and no one can worship you for me. I can't worship God for your victory. You worship and praise God for the victory in your life." He says, "For all the things that you've done for me, and no one can worship you for me." It says, "Here's my worship, all of my worship." And then later on it says in that song, "I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you." Choose to not be silent. Don't just lay there and let life happen. Don't just say, it's just, you know, how it is. No, it's not how it is. It's going to be different because I'm asking God to make a change in this. And he says he will, and he will. And I'm going to make sure that I see it happens, and I'm not letting go until I see it. You have the choice to praise the Lord. So this last 3 weeks, you guys wrote down reasons why you praise the Lord. You had a scripture that you went with it. Now proclaim the victory in your life. We're going to do that together. We're going to stand up. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. And we're going to have the victory. Now, this might be a little bit cheesy, but do you think I could play this one song on the microphone? You have it up there? It's by Phil Thompson? Okay. Yeah, it's really good, y'all. And then we'll finish out we'll do some of the playlists. If you have to go, you go. If you want to stay a little bit longer, you can stay. But at least the next 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes or so, we're going to praise and get the victory, okay? All right, I love you guys. I'm not going to pray out loud a whole lot because my voice, okay? All right, everybody stand up. Let's worship and praise the Lord.